let's take our Bibles and look at one verse tonight, and we're going to look at a topic that probably is not taught on very often, but one that I think is necessary for the Christian life, and especially in this day and age when we have such a task of so many different things that can distract us from the focus of the Christian life. We've got all the modern technology, and you know, it's amazing. I remember when I was in probably fifth grade or so, and they were talking about going into the computer age and how it was going to make life so much easier and so much simpler. And really, I think it makes it more complicated, to be honest with you. But it was always nice to sit down and write a letter. Now people just text or send emails, you know, and that's good to a point. But it does occupy our time. I don't know if you've measured how much time you spend per week on your iPhone or on your iPad or whatever, but if we're not careful, we can let modern electronics and modern technology take over our minds and take over sometimes in things that really may not be as important as they seem to be at the time. And so our minds can get cluttered, our minds can get filled with sometimes even evil things that the internet can lead us to and so forth. So as we think about that, I want us to look at what God tells us we need to do with our minds. So if you stand with me very quickly, and we'll read just Joshua 1:8. Most of you are probably familiar with this verse, and maybe many of you have put it to memory. But let's follow with me as I read verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Father, we thank you tonight for the word, and we thank you for the instructions that you give us in your word, even on how to let the word of God get into our hearts and our minds. And Father, I pray tonight that we will understand the importance of this area of meditation. We pray that you would help us to learn and grasp principles that we can then take and apply in our Christian walk every day. And Father, we pray you'll speak to our hearts now through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the world has their form of meditation. I remember back in the 60s and 70s, they had transcendental meditation. And the concept that came out of the Eastern Asian cultures and so forth, Hinduism, Buddhism, and so forth. And transcendental meditation was basically kind of just letting your mind go empty and just, you know, empty your mind. And then whatever comes into your mind, you just dwell on it and think on it and meditate and so forth. And of course, back in the 60s and 70s, hallucinogenic type drugs were used in some of this, as well as even today, many companies, some of you may be part of a company where they're teaching you de-stress type exercises and using yoga and different things of that nature. But God has given us a wonderful tool. He's given us, first of all, the Word of God. But he also has given us instruction on meditation and how to, so to speak, get all the stuff out of our mind and get the right stuff into our mind. And so what we want to look at tonight are three areas in meditation, biblical meditation, and how that can make a difference in our Christian life. First of all, I want us to see here, notice the purpose of meditation. The purpose of biblical meditation. Notice it says there, right at the beginning, God says to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And then a little further down there, it says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, biblical meditation is not just pondering or musing on whatever we want to think on, but notice here very clearly, God says to Joshua, this book of the law. So the focus of biblical meditation is the Word of God. And God wants us to discipline and direct our thinking on the Word of God. So how do we do this? What's the purpose? What is the purpose for meditating on the Word of God? Well, first of all, letter A, to develop biblical thinking. To develop biblical thinking. Notice it says, shall not depart out of thy mouth. That word there means not to remove the written word, or not to remove the word out of our minds, out of our thinking. Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy to get busy during the day, and you might read your Bible in the morning, and you might have a good time of devotion with the Lord, and then you get into the day and you get busy. But what God wants us to do is to take what we get in the morning and take what we get from His Word and then apply it throughout the day, to think on it, to dwell on it, and to keep it with us. And so the word there, shall not depart, is the idea of not taking something away or forgetting it or removing it from our lives. And actually, the verb there is in the perfect tense, which in the Hebrew means the idea of continually going on. It's a continual going on of action and result of knowing the Word of God. So, what is the purpose then of meditation? The purpose is, or the goal is, to think biblically, or to think Christ-mindedly. One of the reasons why Pastor had a burden to start a Christian school many years ago, many decades ago, was to develop the mind of Christ in the students. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why we have Christian education, is to develop the mind of a child to think biblically, to have a Christian biblical worldview of everything that's going on around them. But that can't happen unless that focus is on the Word of God. Now, part of that purpose then in developing biblical thinking, number one then, is to build your thoughts on Bible principles. Build your thoughts on Bible principles. Note that here that the law of, or God's word, is never to be gone from our minds. In other words, the Word of God should always be there in our thinking. As we're driving along in the morning, we can be meditating and thinking about a verse, or as something comes up, if we're familiar and we're meditating on the Word of God, God can take that word and bring it to our mind in a situation where it may be needed to apply. In other words, God wants us to live by the Word of God and to live in the Word of God. That's why He gave us the written word, and that's why it should be so precious to us. Psalm 119, verse 15, David said this. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And you'll find that David often talks about meditation in God's word. And that meditation is so important because he's meditating on precepts and concepts of the Word of God. The word precept there means statutes or commands or principles. And there are certain commands, there's certain statutes, and there's certain principles that God has given us in His Word that if we will apply that and live that by those principles, we will have success. And by the way, that's what we're going to see. The last point we're going to look at is the success of all this. What is the result of the right kind of biblical meditation? Then, the reason we don't think biblically is because we do not sometimes have God's precepts in our hearts. We aren't building our thinking around God's word. It's easy in this world to fall into what humanism has done. Humanism has secularized everything and categorized everything in life. In other words, okay, you want to do your religious thing? Okay, you do that on Sunday, you do that on Wednesday, but now tomorrow you get up and you go to work. Or you get up and you tend to your family, or you get up and you go to school, or whatever it may be. But here's the thing. For the Christian, everything should be permeated by the Word of God. Everything we do should be built upon the precepts and the principles of God's Word. So it's imperative that we understand that our thinking should not be, if we continue in the Word of God, like the thinking of the world. Everything that we do, folks, should be spiritual. Whether it's planting roses in the backyard, or whether it's, you know, going and getting the mail, or sitting down to eat a meal, everything we do should somehow apply or should be in the mind of doing it for the glory of God and doing it in a way that we're conscious of the Lord. And that's where meditation comes in, and it's so important. So the first thing we can see here, we can build our thoughts on biblical principles. Second, we can build our thoughts on God's being. So we need to build our thoughts around the Word of God and understanding and knowing the truth of God's Word. But secondly, we need to build our thoughts on God's being. Someone said this, if we want the God of truth, we must know the truth of God. If you want to know the God of truth, then we must know the truth about our God. And that's partly as we meditate and as we focus on the Word of God, then we will learn things, first of all, concerning His person, who God is. Psalm 63:6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David talks about how he meditated and thought upon God. When's the last time you just sat down and thought about God? Thought about His attributes. Thought about His mercy. Thought about His justice. Thought about His love. Thought about His omnipotence and His omnipresence, and just dwelt and thanked God and dwelt upon the things that the Word of God has showed us about our God. Because I guarantee you, Satan will paint a picture of God that is not biblical and is a lie. And that's why God wants us in His Word, because that keeps us straight on truth about God Himself and that relationship we have with Him. A.W. Tozer said, without doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God. So we need to dwell on the person of God and think about God and think about God in relation to what the Bible tells us about Him. Secondly, we should dwell on His works. We should think on His works. Psalm 77, verse 12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now God is good, amen? And I hope you take time to think about the wonderful things that God does and the wonderful things God has provided and the wonderful provisions and all the things that God's doing. I mean, every time we see somebody walk the aisle and get saved, and we see someone follow in believer's baptism, we see someone finish discipleship, that's the blessing of God. That's the work of God in people's lives. And that's something that we should meditate on. We should meditate on how God has worked in our lives. That's so, so important. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the intention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. There is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. Spurgeon said that, and he's right. We need to spend time thinking about how awesome and how great our God is. And it does. It puts you in a position of humility. And it puts us in a place of confidence in Him and strengthens our faith. So it's important, as we look at this first purpose, to develop biblical thinking. But secondly, to direct a biblical response. The purpose of meditation isn't just to think about all the wonderful things about God, but God also wants us to respond to what we see and what we hear. Notice what it says there further down in the verse. It says, that thou mayest observe. Biblical meditation has an expected end in mind, and that is action, obedience, response. Now, the word observe means to keep, to guard, to observe. It means to give heed and to retain. So there's times when you're reading along and God's going to give you something. Maybe it's a warning. Maybe it's a verse that is a promise. And God wants us to take that verse and claim it. Excuse me. And so we need to realize the importance of that. Secondly, it means, that word observe there means to treasure up in memory. To treasure up in memory. That is the idea of collecting scripture in our minds and then being able to use it at the appropriate time. For instance, maybe we're a little discouraged, and if we have verses that we've learned that will give us encouragement, God will lead us, the Holy Spirit will lead us to those verses, and we can meditate on those promises that God's given us. Or we may be in the moment of making a major decision, and we pray and we ask God for direction, and He may bring a verse to mind that will guide us in that decision that we have to make. But we can't do it unless we're putting the word into our treasure of our heart. That's why the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God wants us to hide the word in our heart. Why? So that we can pull it up and meditate on it. George Mueller, he said this about meditation. He said, the most important thing I had to do was to read the word of God and to meditate on it. Thus, my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, and instructed. Now, sometimes I'll hear Christians say, well, I read the Bible, I just don't get anything out of it. Well, if it's, okay, I got 15 minutes for Bible reading, okay? But 15 minutes isn't going to always do it. Sometimes 15 minutes, it just takes us to get settled in and start thinking about what we're reading. And start meditating, start chewing on what God is giving us there. So we need to understand that it's important for us to allow God's word to direct us in right thinking. The third purpose is to do according to God's word. Notice what it says, to do according to all that is written therein. Now, there's the world's way of doing certain things, and then there's God's way of doing things. We want to be doing it God's way. Amen. And, there's principles that will help you on the freeway. It's called being patient. And somebody cuts you off, sometimes we just, we get mad. And I remember yesterday, or Monday, I was pulling into this aisle in Costco, and I mean, it was just jammed. I mean, there was just hundreds and hundreds of people, and there was this car, and it was up a ways, and I saw there was a parking space here, and all of a sudden, the guy starts backing up, And finally, I honked my horn because it looked like he was going to hit me. And he starts making these hand gestures to back up, you know, because he wanted that space. Now, I could have been mean and just pulled in and taken that space. But I thought, you know what? It's not worth it. First of all, he might have a gun and pull it out and shoot me over a parking space. And things have happened that have been, you know, less consequence than that. But here's the whole point. God gives us direction on how to handle things when we do it according to his written word. But if we're not meditating on it and it's not in our minds and it's not in our thinking, then we're not going to think biblically. Therefore, we're not going to act according to the biblical pattern of how we should handle things. So God wants us to respond, and of course, the greatest response to the word of God is just to obey what God says. Obey what he says. Now, I think it was Jerry Bridges. He gave this simple little formula, and this is a great little formula that you might want to write down or kind of store it in the back of your mind. It says, as you read or study the scriptures and meditate on them during the day, ask yourself these three questions. Number one, what does this passage teach concerning God's will for a holy life? Number two, how does my life measure up to that scripture? Specifically, where and how do I fall short? And he says, be specific, don't generalize. You know, you're reading along and God convicts you in the verse. There's something specifically God is wanting you to know from that verse and apply, maybe even for that particular day. And then thirdly, what definite steps of action do I need to take to obey? Now, that's three simple questions that really would help us to get the word of God into our hearts. You know, when God was preparing to send Israel into the promised land, Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second law. And basically, it was an application of how to take the law and apply it in the practical, everyday tasks of life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8, it says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now, you've probably gone up to houses and knocked on the door, and you saw the little mezuzah there on the door, or on the door frame. That's to be a reminder to a Jewish person to ever keep the law before them. But folks, we should, when we rise up, when we sit down, when we are fellowshipping, whatever, somewhere in that conversation, there should be something that comes up about the Lord. And if our mind is on the Lord and our mind is on the Word of God, it's going to come up very readily. In fact, that's what God was basically telling the parents of the Israelites. Look, I want the Word of God and the law to be so familiar that it's just part of your conversation. So that when you sit down with your children, you're instructing them, and it's all based upon the principles of the Word of God. And it's a wonderful, wonderful principle. Now, A.W. Pink said this, and I'm not a big fan of pink, but this is a great statement. Not the color pink. I'm not big on the color pink either, but but here's what he says. Meditation upon the Word of God is one of the most important of all the means of grace and growth in spirituality. Yea, there can be no true progress in vital and practical godliness without it. Meditation on divine things is not optional, but obligatory. For it is something which God has commanded us to attend unto. In other words, He's saying one of the keys, one of the secrets, one of the obligations for us in the Christian life should be to be meditating and thinking on the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this question. Just think about this for a minute. Are you purposed to live continually in the Word of God? Because if we are purposed to live continually by the Word of God and in the Word of God, then we have to be meditating on the Word of God. But notice the second thing. We see the purpose then of meditation, but notice the process of meditation. And the process of meditation is not that difficult. It's very simple. First of all, meditation should be constant. Notice it says there that God says to meditate in His Word how often? Day and night. So throughout the entire day. Anytime we're awake and conscious, we should be aware and thinking about principles that may apply in our lives from the Word of God. So it's the idea. Now, the word meditate itself means to muse or even to mutter. The idea of even talking to yourself about something. And of course, all of us have probably done that one time or another. Of course, the danger is when you start answering yourself, that's when it gets bad. But Psalm 1:2 puts it this way. It says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Most of you understand the principle of a cow chewing its cud. Basically, a cow will ingest grass and hay or whatever that he's eating. It'll go into the first compartment of his digestive system. Then he brings it back up into his mouth and he chews on it. And that's kind of the idea of biblical meditation. It's ingesting the Word of God, maybe memorizing a verse or getting a thought for the day, and then throughout the day, bringing that thought back up and thinking on it and dwelling on it and musing, asking yourself questions, thinking about that verse and that principle. There's a quote here that says, as you read, pause frequently to meditate on the meaning of what you are reading. Absorb the word into your system by dwelling on it, pondering it, going over it again and again in your mind, considering it from many different angles until it becomes part of you. Now, our pastor does everything he can to help us to do that very thing. For instance, he hands out notes on Sunday morning. So that we can take notes. We get notes on Wednesday nights. Sometimes take those notes, and I know many of you do this. You'll go back and you'll go back through and look at the verses and look at the notes and so forth and meditate on that. That's what he's talking about here. Meditating on it, chewing on it, and then absorbing it so that we can apply it to our life. The word meditate is used in the Old Testament literally means to murmur or to mutter, and by implication, to talk to oneself. When we meditate on the scriptures, we talk to ourselves about them, turning over in our minds the meanings, the implications, and the applications to our own lives. Now, that's a wonderful thing, because you can be driving down to work, or you can be doing something that doesn't take a lot of. Of course, driving does take some attention, but you can meditate on some things. You can talk to the Lord, and you can talk to the Lord about what you read in your Bible that morning. And ask the Lord, Lord, show me, how can I apply this? How does this work in my life? And Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In other words, David loved God's word, and because he loved God's word, he meditated on it all the time. You know, the things you really like, those are the things you think about. And hopefully we begin to grow and have a love for God's word. So meditation, first of all, is a constant. It's something we should be doing regularly. Now, I understand there's sometimes you got to concentrate on things. You can't be thinking every moment. But as you go through the day, bringing up and thinking about the Word of God and thinking about a principle that God gave you that day. Secondly, meditation should be centered. The idea there, notice it says this book of the law. So first of all, meditation is centered on the book of the law, the Word of God. And secondly, according to all that is written therein. So God says our meditation, our focus, the center focal point of meditation is always the Word of God. Always the Word of God. And when we are not centering our thoughts and bringing our thoughts into a relationship with the Word of God, then Sam Storms says it this way. He says, each time we surrender our minds to meditate on base and sordid objects, their grip on our lives is intensified. To think we can decrease our affinity for sinful pleasure apart from a concentrated fixation on the spirituality sublime and simply is simply delusional. In other words, sometimes you may be struggling in your thought life, or maybe you're struggling with a besetting sin, or you're struggling with something in your life. You're not going to have any victory unless you replace it with thinking on principles of the Word of God. You want to take some negative thought and thinking out of your mind, you've got to replace it with something good, which is the Word of God. And when we don't have the Word of God there, then our carnal, fleshly thoughts can come back. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it this way, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought we should some way submit it to Christ. Is this something I could think or say in front of Jesus Christ? Because if it isn't, then I shouldn't be thinking on it. Now, we have tens of thousands of thoughts that pass through our minds daily. And only as we allow the Word of God can screen those thoughts and direct those thoughts and teach us either to reject them or to dwell on them and apply them through the Word of God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So in other words, God wants us to think on the right things, the true things, the honest things, and so forth. And you can't do that without the Word of God. You have to have the Word of God. Now, we see the purpose. We see the process. Finally, let's look at the product. Very quickly. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wow. The word prosperity and the word success in the Bible is always connected with meditation. When we're lined up with the Word of God, then we are going to see prosperity. Now, maybe not prosperity as the world defines it. The word prosperous here means to make prosperous, to bring to successful issue, to cause to prosper or make progress. Progress in our Christian life cannot come without including God's Word as a vital contributor to it. And we won't take time, but George Mueller here talks about how he began to realize even later in life how important the meditation of God's Word became in order to prosper and be successful. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The greatest success and the greatest prosperity in our life is that the inner man is spiritually strengthened and renewed every day. Because the outward man, the flesh, it grows old. It doesn't function like it used to. I'm learning that. It's not always easy. Somebody said, getting old is not for sissies. And it's not. So a prosperous way, and then let her be there, a successful life. A successful life. The word success actually means to be prudent, to have insight or comprehension. In other words, sometimes success is built upon the comprehension and the understanding of the situation we're in and how to deal with that situation. And if we deal with it in a proper way, then there's success. If you have a problem at work, it's always good to have the Lord on your shoulder and directing you and guiding you, because he's the one who's going to lead you into a successful way. Success is also seen in having the right insight that will make right decisions that leads to that success. That's why it's so important. If we're thinking on the Word of God, God will give us the right thoughts and the right concepts and the right way to do something that will bring the best result and bring the success. Now, as we look at this tonight, we've looked at three basic truths about meditation. We've looked at the purpose, we've looked at the process, and we've looked at the product. And the question is this: how are we going to take these truths and now apply them? Because we can have a whole lesson on and a whole message on meditation, but if we don't apply it, then we're like somebody who looks in the mirror, and as it says in James, and we go away not changing what we saw. And so, but meditation is something that we can work at every day. It's not hard. It's just taking the Word of God and dwelling on it. And you'll be amazed, the more you put your heart and your mind on the things of God and on the Word of God, the easier decisions come. And when they need to be made, they can be made efficiently and effectively, because we're thinking the way God wants us to think. And that's what's so important.